Hey, that song Chain Breaker, every time we sing that, I kind of lose my voice because I sing it way too loud. And I think Keaton does an awesome job leading that in worship. But let's be honest, he held back just a little bit. So if you want the rendition where Keaton is not holding back, check out Facebook. And there is just an unleashed version of Chain Breaker on there that I know he's really proud of. So, hey, you let it go public. So there it is. Anyway. Well, it was great to worship with you guys on the first day of 2017. So as we think about New Year's, there's a lot of New Year's resolutions out there. You got to love them. Let me share with you some of the favorites that I have noticed as of late that people have put out there. All right, first New Year's resolution. I need to start eating healthy, but first I need to eat up all this junk food in our house so I won't be tempted anymore. Anybody ever made that one? My New Year's resolution is to stop hanging out with people who will ask me about my New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution is to become more assertive, if that's okay with you guys. My New Year's resolution is to spend less time interacting with people and more time with my phone. Oh, a little too close to home for some of us. My New Year's resolution is to not go into a Belk store in 2017. Too soon? At least I didn't say show up in the second half. Now that I got everybody in the room fired up, I think everybody wants to change. I think everybody's just got this thing in them that we're created with that we want better and we want more. And ultimately, I think the greatest thing that we all long for and we all desire is we long for perfection. And I think that God wired us up that way. So our goal today and my prayer today is that we can help everybody in this room do something about one thing rather than nothing about everything. I'll say that again. Our goal and our prayer is to help you to do something about one thing instead of to do nothing about everything. It's expected that in this new year, 2017, sometime between yesterday and today, over 100 million Americans will make New Year's resolutions. It's also expected that over 75% will abandon those resolutions by February. Sounds about right, right? Hey, by the way, if your New Year's resolution this year was to attend church every Sunday in 2017, you're doing great today. You're doing great. You're on track. You're on track. Well, I want to put this on the screen because I want you to digest this for just a moment. The normal, natural direction of your life will not lead to godly spiritual formation. In other words, if you just go through this life however it makes you ebb and flow, it is not necessarily going to bring about godliness and growth, spiritual formation in your life. Now, I would also argue that spiritual formation is happening in every one of our lives. My life, your life. I would even argue that the people who aren't here this Sunday and the people who aren't here next Sunday and the people who don't have plans to be here ever on any Sunday, the unbelievers of the world, I would argue that they are being spiritually formed as well. But for us as believers for just a moment, for us as Christians for just a moment, I want you to realize that the normal, just natural direction of your life will not lead to spiritual, godly spiritual formation. So something has to shift. Something has to be interrupted in my life. Something has to be interrupted in your life. Something has to change for us to become who God intends and created for us to be. The desires that we all have as humans for change, they're just kind of this realization that we have deeper problems than we can fix ourselves. We can't fix what's really wrong with us. A lot of times we try to fix up the outside, and yet what we've got in our lives is an inside deep problem. So no human solution is available for me. No human solution is available for you. The solution is the gospel. It's the gospel. It is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And here's what I want us to get today. Here's what I want us to grasp today, is that the gospel does not merely affect our eternity and our future. The gospel affects our lives today. And this is where I think a lot of people who claim to be believers, who say they are Christians, completely miss it. And they think, man, I believed in Jesus, and one day I'm going to go be with him in heaven, and for now, whatever, who cares? Listen, the gospel is there to impact our lives today, this day. Because of Jesus, his perfect life and death and resurrection, we can experience redemption. He can redeem us from our lost state in our sin. Have you ever seen somebody who was really deep in sin? I mean, they were just messed up really bad in sin. And they experience salvation and forgiveness of that sin. Have you ever seen that happen? And you're like, wow. You know what that's called? It's called redemption. Why can that happen? Because Jesus can redeem anybody. He can redeem anybody? Anybody. Have you ever seen somebody who has gone through major difficulties in life? And maybe you're sitting around some of those people right now who lately, it's been a very difficult season of their life. And you've watched them respond to the difficulties and challenges and heartaches and pains of life. And you've actually seen them become more joyful and more hopeful throughout that period of time. Have you ever noticed people like that? And you not look at them and you're just like, wow, I'm amazed. It's mind-blowing. We've got people in our church that are like that, that have gone through and are going through some incredible things, and yet hope and joy just continues to flow out of them. Why is that? Because Jesus and his glorious gospel can redeem anything. Anything? Yes, anything. His death, his burial, and his resurrection can bring about redemption in any situation and in any circumstance. The gospel and faith do not guarantee that life is going to be easy. If anybody has ever taught you, man, just believe in Jesus and everything is going to get better, they are not teaching Scripture. There is no guarantee that your life is going to be easy and that everything is just going to be fun and everything is going to be festive. But what God can do is when you place your faith in his gospel, in every season of life, he can redeem every situation that you are dealing with. He can bring about redemption, taking something that is hopelessly lost and worthless and giving it worth, purpose, and meaning. Again, the normal, natural direction of your life will not lead to godly spiritual formation. But when you and I place our faith in Jesus and his glorious gospel, redemption can take place. It's going to require the redirection of the gospel in our lives, and we're called to change. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. I want you to see that we are called to change. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I want to leave that up there for just a moment. It says, don't copy, don't conform to the behaviors and the customs of this world. Don't just let yourself go down the natural way of doing life. You know what the natural way of doing life is? For me to become like everybody else, to watch what they're doing and to engage in what they're doing and let the circumstances just come, let the results just come. We copy the behavior and customs of this world. That's the natural way of doing life. Do I need to describe for you or tell you what the natural behaviors and customs of this world are? No. You know what they are. You know what they are. And the Word of God tells us, don't copy that. Don't conform to that. Don't follow suit with that. And then this huge word right in the middle of the verse, but. So we see a shift. Instead of doing that, instead of doing what's normal, instead of doing what everybody else is doing, instead of doing what is natural, do something radically different. And the next word after but is another three-letter word, L-E-T, let. Let. My kids are all the time asking me to let them do something, right? Let me, let me, let me, let me, let me, let me. All right, I could just tell you a million different things over the last week of time, no school and the holidays going on, of things they've said, will you let me, will you let me, will you let me? What are they asking me for? They're asking me to give them permission to do what? What they want to do. Word of God says, don't conform, don't copy the behaviors and patterns of this world, but let. Give God permission to do whatever He wants and plans to do. Instead of going the natural route and doing what we want to do, which is to copy the behaviors and patterns of this world, we allow God, we trust God, we believe God, and we ask Him to do whatever He wants to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, work in me however you decide to do so. And what does God do? He says, but let God transform you. So the world is conforming us, making us to be like everybody else. And God says, I want to do something different. I don't want to work on the behavioral problems. I want to transform your soul. I want to transform your heart. I want to transform your character. I want to change who you are. It says, but let God transform you into a, what does it say? Into a what? Into a what? A lot of you forgot how to read in this new year. It's on the screen. It says, but let God transform you into a much better, a new person. Wow. A new person? Not just do things differently, but a new person. Totally different person. That's what God wants to do in my life. That's what God wants to do in your life. And that's what's possible. Not because we think hard enough and because we grit our teeth, but because of the gospel of Jesus. This is the spiritual formation that God wants to do in our lives, making us into a new person. The Word of God goes on there to say, then, after you start letting God do what He wants to do in your life, then you will learn to know God's will. I've got desires. I've got wishes. I've got plans. Do you have desires? Everybody nod your head, yes. Do you have plans? Yes. Do you have wishes? Yes. Guess what? God has plans. God has desires. God has wishes. He calls them His will. And the moment that I say, God, I'm going to let you be in charge, guess what starts becoming clear to me? God's will. God's plan. Guess what is involved in me experiencing God's plan for my life? It's a word that scares a lot of people, but it's very important. Formation and us becoming everything God wants us to be, it requires submission. Submission. I'm a parent. I long for my kids to be submissive. Almost every night that I pray with them, I pray that my kids will obey mom and dad. It's something I long for. It's something I want for them. It's something I'm teaching them over and over and over and over again. So much more does God, our Heavenly Father, want you and I to obey Him and to submit to Him. Why? He's got it all figured out. Here's the problem. You think you've got it all figured out. But the moment I come to the place where, God, I don't have it figured out, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to obey you, is when He can do something that is transformative in our life that's only possible through the gospel. It's the brand new year. You came to church. You're like, man, you're talking about all this kind of stuff. And I thought maybe going to be some kind of trick or some kind of gimmick in which everything can just go great in 2016. Let me tell you what, no tricks, no gimmicks. I got something greater than that. It's called the gospel. It's the gospel. and He changes our lives. It changes our lives. So as I start thinking about life changing me, and you start thinking about life changing you, as you probably have, at least in the back of your mind, some of you in the front of your mind, some of you have already taken a piece of paper, and this is great if you did, you've already taken a piece of paper, and you've started to write down things that you want to do differently in 2017. You call them resolutions or commitments or whatever you want to call them. We're thinking about it, either back here, up here, or even down here. We're beginning to think about, what can I do differently in 2017? How do I want to change? Here's what most of us do. If we start thinking about it, we get overwhelmed because there's so much about me that needs to change. It's not even funny. There's like four or five people in the room. You got it all figured out. You don't need to change. You're great. You're good. For the rest of us in the room, like me, there's a lot that needs to change. And as I start thinking about what needs to change in me, it can get overwhelming. Well, there's this, and there's that. Oh, yeah, there's that. And there's this, and don't forget about that. Becomes a very long list really quickly. And so what I want us to do today is to do something about one thing rather than nothing about everything. Let me give you three things about New Year's resolutions that are negative, not good. Number one, most of the time with New Year's resolutions, it's too many. You make way too long of a list. We tend to do that. The list of things that we want to change just becomes endless. And we pick way too many things to accomplish, and we accomplish absolutely nothing. Okay, so that's one negative to a New Year's resolution. If you've made New Year's resolutions, I'm not roughing you up. I'm just telling you that like most of the time you make a way too long list. Number two, they're too vague. They're too vague. Well, I want to be in better shape. Okay, what do you mean by better shape? You want to be able to touch your toes by the end of the year? Or you want to run a marathon? Okay? What does better shape mean? Too vague. And the other one is, many times they're too shallow. They're too shallow. Well, I want to be a better person. Okay, that's great. Well, guess what that causes me to do when I say, I want to be a better person? I look at you, and I look at you, and I look at you, and I look at them, and I look at them. And the next thing you know, I'm comparing myself to other people, and you know what? I can find people that are way worse than I am. And it becomes way too vague. And it totally misses the mark of anything that we're trying to accomplish. And it doesn't produce change. Most of the time, it just produces judgmentalism. So we want to do something about one thing instead of nothing about everything. I want to encourage you to pick one word, my one word for 2017. Well, why one word? A single sentence tends to address our behavior. For instance, I promise I'll stop cussing. Okay, great, wonderful. If you've got a foul mouth, that'd be great if you did away with your foul mouth this year. But you just addressed your behavior. And we don't need to address our behavior. We need to address our character. And one word brings about that possibility. Single words focus on our character. And follow me as we continue to talk about this idea. So this idea came to me two years ago now, the end of 2015, I was hanging out with a friend of mine. His name is Greg. Greg pastors one of the churches in the city that we lived in DuPont that we shared a school with to worship in. And Greg's like, hey, man, a few years ago I came across this idea that somebody else shared. I want to share it with you. And the idea is just to pick one word and let that be your word that you want to focus in on, pray towards, and allow God to make a big difference in your life for the year. And so at the end of 2015, going into 2016, I thought, I think I'm going to do that. So I began to pray, I began to think, I began to dwell on it, and God gave me a word. Guess what happened when I picked my one word? That word started to show up in all kinds of places. Have you ever experienced this? Like you're thinking about getting a new car. It's a totally different kind of car, and you go drive it, and the next thing you know, everywhere you go, you see that kind of car. Are you with me? There's another commercial for it. Can you believe that? I'm going to tell you the same thing happened for me when I picked my word that I felt like God wanted to work on me and my heart and my character in. I began to see it in Scripture over and over again. I began to pray about it over and over again. I would hear people say it. I would notice when there were situations that people could have said it, but they missed it. I began to see, even as I was watching television or reading Facebook or whatever it was, this word just kept popping up in all kinds of instances, and God just began to use it in my life. So here's my question for you. What kind of person do you want to be in 2017? What kind of person do you want to be, do you desire to be by the end of 2017? Question to follow that. Leave that up there. Here you go. Do you want to continue to be conformed to the behaviors and customs of this world? Or do you want to be changed by Jesus? Keep on doing what you've been doing, which is nothing potentially, and you're just going to conform more and more and more to the behaviors and the customs of this world. But what if we leaned in and we said, God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do for me? What do you want to do through me in 2017? And allow him to begin to work in you and in me. I want to give you a little bit of homework. Homework. I want us to lean into this process. I want you to join me in this, okay? You're not behind in the process. I know today is January the 1st. Already knew you here. I don't want you I don't want you to fret that the new year is already here. Here's what I want us to do. I want us, our church, to take the month of January and to consider what the word is that God has for us individually. Here's how this homework is going to function and work. As you wrestle with this question, what kind of person do you want to be by the end of 2017? Start writing down, kind of create a word journal. You can use the bulletin that you've got in your hands there. You can get a whole other notebook. I don't care how you do it. You can do it on your phone or whatever. But start creating a word journal, words that you think would describe the person that you want to become by the end of 2017. So what we're talking about right now is not a short list. We're talking about a long list. A long list of words, okay, that potentially describe the character and the type of person that you want God to cause you to become, the new person that he intends for you to be. And out of that long list, allow God to let one of those words jump out of that list and become bigger than life for you and become your one word. Okay? So I want to challenge you to do the homework. I'm going to remind you of this throughout the month. And say, hey, have you been working on your list? For some of you, you don't even have to do your list. For some of you, you're sitting there right now and you're like, I know my word. I've got it all figured out. Like, I can see it right now. This is it for me right now. For some of you, you're going to need to get in the grind and it's going to be worth it. But make that long list and say, God, what is it? What is the one? God may use his word to reveal that to you. He may use another human being to reveal that to you. He may use the preaching of his word to reveal that to you. Whatever he wants to use for him just to shout that one word to you that he wants to do a great work in and through your life in 2017 for. So here's our homework. Get a blank piece of paper. Just begin writing down character of the person that I want to become. Long list. Pray over it. Spend time on it. If you want to dialogue with somebody else about it, great, wonderful, good. But I want you to figure out what that is by the end of this month, the month of January. If you're married, I want husband and wife both to do this. I want you to figure out what your one word is individually, and I want your spouse to figure out what their one word is individually. If you have kids in your home, I want you to encourage your kids to engage in this as well, okay? In particular, for me, I'm thinking about my 9 and 7-year-old, but my 5-year-old, while we were singing tonight, singing this morning, he was like, hey, that's one of my sight words, and hey, that's one of my sight words, and hey, that's one of my sight words. That's what he was noticing on the screen while we were singing. It was pretty cool. I don't know that my 5-year-olds are too young to engage in this. What if every night while I was praying with my kids, and they had, over this next month, figured out what their one word was. What if every night that I prayed over them, I prayed for that one thing that they thought, this is my word for this year. Now, I could tell my kids what I think their word and word needs to be. Just like your spouse could probably tell you what your one word needs to be. But let's let God tell us what our one word needs to be. And when we figure this out, I want you to share it with other people. If you're married, I want you to share it with your spouse. I'd love for you to share it with your HC group and to say, this is my one word for the year, my one word. And we're going to talk about this more as time goes on, but figuring out what that one word is. It's the idea of doing something about one thing instead of nothing about everything. I got one verse of scripture as we wrap up our time this morning, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. And I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Is that a word of encouragement or what? God started something in me and he says, I'm not going to quit. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes that I lose hope, I lose traction, I lose desire, and I quit. And God says, listen, if I started something in you, I'm not going to quit. If you are a believer and therefore Jesus saved you and redeemed you, guess what? He began a work in you and he says, I'm not done and I'm not going to finish. You and I have the ability to say, God, I trust you. I'm getting on board with you. And for that process of becoming who he wants us to be, to go a whole lot faster if we cooperate with him. Anybody in this room been a believer long enough that at some point in your life, you said, God, you may not have said it out loud, but with your life, you said, God, I'm not going to cooperate with you right now. Anybody ever done that as a believer? Said, God, I'm not going to cooperate with you right now? I have. I'm raising my hand. I'm going to be honest. I've done that. Guess what I have done? I have totally royally messed up God's plan in my life. Put it on halt. Put it on hold. Maybe even put it to the point of like feeling like it's going to be destruction. And yet, guess what? God's patient and he endures and he's faithful. And how much faster and how much more glory does he receive when we say, God, I'm willing to trust you and to believe in you. Next step. It's on the back side of your communication card. It's also going to be the screen. One thing we're asking you to do. Figure out what my one word is, okay? Figure out what my one word is. Again, if you have kids, help them engage in this process. If you have a spouse, remind them to engage in this process. If you have a friend that you trust and you know is for you in the name of Jesus, get them to help you in this process if you want to, but make sure you engage in this. What if every single one of us that are just here today, and everybody's not here today, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody's not here every Sunday. What if just this group that's here today? God, what's the one word? We figured out what it was, and we just allowed him to speak to us over and over and over and over and over again through his word, through the circumstances that we face, the people that we interact with, and for him to do the work inside of us and transform us to become everything that he wants us to be. Here's what I think. I think there'll be a lot of life transformation that will take place in our lives and therefore in our church this year if we're willing to do just that. One word. One word. One word. Three words on the screen, my one word. Would you say that out loud with me? My one word. Say it with me. My one word. Now just kind of whisper to yourself, what is it? Okay? What is it? What is my one word? Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your word, which declares to us Jesus. We thank you so much for the gospel that not only affects our eternity, and how massive is that? And maybe that's the message that some in this room need to hear today, is that Jesus can change their eternal destination because of his death and because of his burial and because of his resurrection. Nothing would bring us greater joy than someone receiving you today and allowing their eternity to be changed forever. But Father, also remind us and help us to know that not only do you want to change our eternal destination, but you want to change us today. I don't know if you want to make our life circumstances better or not. I don't know if you want to heal someone or not. I don't know what you want to do in all of that, but what I do know is that you want to change us. You want to produce in us joy and hope that flows out of us like a river, regardless of the situation, regardless of our circumstances, because the gospel redeems, because the gospel makes that which is lost and worthless to be found and valuable. And Father, you've done that in many of our lives. You've found us and you made us valuable. God, make our lives the same. Make our today, make our this year, make our this season that you've given us everything that you want it to be. We've got our desires and we've got our plans and we've got our wishes. Father, right now, we're going to do the hard thing, the unnatural thing, and we're not going to copy the behaviors and the patterns of this world. Instead, we're going to believe in you. We're going to trust that your plan and your will is better, and we're going to let you, God, we're going to let you carry forth your plan in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.